right. I tried to reason with you. I tried everything. Now I want those letters.
When you're seeing an old Hollywood film with a lush soundtrack, you get caught up in it.
Richard, I tried to stay away. I thought I would never see you again.
You hear a soaring violin passage, and it pulls you through the dialogue and enhances the camera work. So the last thing you might be thinking is,
the day you left Paris.
Who's playing that violin?
If you knew what I went through.
But of course, somebody is playing it.
You knew.
Or was.
How much I loved you.
In Hollywood, in the 30s and 40s, nine times out of 10, it was probably Louis Kaufman.
You know, Louis always said, you're either born a nightingale or you're born a crow.
Annette Kaufman.
And you can teach a crow for 200 years, and he's never going to sound well. But Louis always had that, even as a little boy. He had a very enchanting sound.
Louis Kaufman's enchanting sound endeared him to everyone that heard him. He played in vaudeville as a boy of 10, performing solos during the costume changes of a Hungarian dancer calling herself Mademoiselle Rozsika. It was on a tour of the Pantages vaudeville circuit with the Mademoiselle that he first saw Los Angeles.
It had a sandy beach. He thought that was just wonderful, and he loved the palm trees and the sunshine, and he determined he was going to live there when he grew up.
So he and his wife Annette settled in L.A. in the late 30s with no thoughts of the movies.
We didn't even realize there were film studios there.
And Louis, with his wife as piano accompanist, got a job playing on the radio live for 15 minutes three times a week after the evening newscast.
And Louis and I both thought, nobody's going to listen to violin and piano after this news program. They'll probably turn off the radio.
One day, the phone rang.
And a man said, are you the Kaufman that plays on the radio?
It was the contractor for Ernst Lubitsch, who had heard Louis on the air. Would Louis come and play for the great Lubitsch's production of The Merry Widow? None of the MGM violinists had passed muster.
And Louis said, well, thank you, Mr. Whalen, and thank Mr. Lubitsch. But, you know, I'm a classic violinist, and I don't think I'd like to play in films. And as a matter of fact, I don't even think I'd fit in.
As the story goes, the contractor thought Kaufman was angling for more money, playing hard to get, so he offered him double scale to come out and give Lubitsch what Lubitsch wanted, which he did, just to try it out.
And Louis went over and he played. It was the really charming music of Franz Lehár, and Mr. Lubitsch thought Louis was doing just great.
And he made the startling sum of $275 for that one day's work during the Depression.
He came home. He said, you know, we can do whatever we want. This can be our pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
And so began the unlikely career of Louis Kaufman, Hollywood's favorite violinist.
The word spread quickly that Kaufman found pay dirt in Hollywood, and then a lot of his friends started coming in from New York and Chicago and all over, and in a couple of years there were really awfully good players here, and they started having regular studio orchestras.
Kaufman was the concertmaster or first violinist in many of those orchestras.
And he ended up playing in about 500 scores.
It was Louis Kaufman who played the violin solos in Chaplin's Modern Times, William Wyler's Dodsworth, John Ford's How Green Was My Valley, to say nothing of Intermezzo, Casablanca, Watch on the Rhine, and The Corn is Green, Sunset Boulevard, For Whom the Bell Tolls, and yes, even Gone with the Wind. It was Kaufman who played the solos in Laura by composer David Raxon.
Well, at the time when I composed Laura, I had Louis in mind because he was then the concertmaster at 20th Century Fox, and he was going to play the solos.
The Laura sessions were a highlight for both men.
I mean, the minute we started to record it, everybody realized it was something special, which is really rather nice. Then people came from other parts of the studio to listen to us record.
There was just something about the way he played.
He had the right degree of perfection from a standpoint of playing, you know, the notes with a terrific kind of feeling, never overweening. Actually, at the time, there was a tendency toward being too schmaltzy, according to my way of doing things. And Louis understood that I did not like that. I was never had to say, Louis, you know, take it easy, baby.
So he fit in well with the community of musicians which had gathered there in sunny California. Louis and Annette used to run into their neighbor, Arnold Schoenberg, in the supermarket. Louis' frequent chamber music partner was Yasha Heifetz. And there were the film composers.
There were remarkable composers who came here due to the dreadful events that were going on in Europe at that time. And, you know, he played works of Korngold and of Franz Waxman.
Louis Kaufman played them all with his trademark winning combination, shining soloist and team player. Hollywood loved this very unshowbiz man. The Kaufmans left Los Angeles after a time, spurred by the success of Louis' recording, the first ever, of Vivaldi's The Four Seasons. They championed contemporary works as well, just kept on working until Louis quit at 75.
He said to me, Annette, I don't want to decay in public. It's time to listen to young people.
It's a story that's just about perfect. Maybe it's even too perfect for Hollywood.
I had a heck of a time getting Louis' story published. You know, most publishers in the commercial world think that it's not very interesting for one man to live for 62 years with one wife. You know, we hadn't murdered anybody. We hadn't had any scandals.
Ho-hum, just a boring life, chatting with Schoenberg, playing chamber music with Heifetz, and being first violinist on the soundtrack of 500 films from Hollywood's golden age. Louis and Annette Kaufman's book, A Fiddler's Tale, is due out in August. It's published by the University of Wisconsin Press. For WNYC, I'm Sarah Fischko.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.